Well, shall we pray, shall we? Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you today. We thank you that we gather here on the other side of the cross. We see how the disciples, when they came to the tomb and they were down and they were coming to tend to a dead body, they were coming to perform the last rites, the last acts of love for one whom they had seen killed. But Lord, we see that they came and the tomb was empty because you, Lord Jesus, were not there. And so we come in that same knowledge, that same truth, that same reality. We come to an empty tomb. For you are not in the tomb, but you have been raised by the power of God. And we pray that your power might be evident here today as well. For we pray in your name. Amen. Well, Easter seems to have come around pretty quickly. I did notice that my wife had been making some hot cross buns, which are very nice. Thank you, dear. But, you know, apart from that, I didn't have a lot of time to think about it. You know, I didn't even, I haven't been in the shops much lately, so didn't see all the merchandising, chocolate and Easter bunnies and that. I see somebody's very stressed out about Easter because they say it's a really expensive way to buy chocolate, apparently. You should buy just a bar of Cadbury chocolate or whatever your favorite chocolate is. Don't buy that egg. It's just a ripoff. But obviously Easter is way bigger than that, isn't it? It's way more than just Easter bunnies and chocolate and all that sort of stuff. Because today is a day when the church, and most of the church, I know that different people celebrate Easter at different times, but where the church recognizes and remembers this fact that Jesus was not in the tomb, but the tomb was empty. When the disciples, we read in this account here, when they came to the tomb on that Sunday, on the Lord's Day, they went to the tomb. There was nobody in the tomb. There was nobody in the tomb. There were only the clothes that Jesus had been wrapped in, the grave cloths, and Jesus was not there. And I want us just to look at that and notice this thing about the resurrection. What does the resurrection do for you? What do you get from the resurrection? What do you learn? And I want us just to notice five things. That many. Five things, but short points. Five short points. Five things you get from the resurrection. Five things that you learn. What is it? Well, the first one is this. The risen Lord Jesus Christ gives you faith. Notice how John describes it here. You probably wondered why he goes into this description about him and Peter running to the tomb, and he doesn't say it was me and Peter. He says the other disciple, doesn't he? He says, and Peter and the other disciple, but actually the other disciple was a faster runner, meaning me. So he's talking about it. I actually ran faster than Peter. But he said, when we got to the tomb, Peter went in because that's just Peter. Peter's kind of a bit more courageous. He's a bit more out there, a bit more, you know, he's the guy who blurts stuff out, just says it, you know, and does it. And Peter just goes into the tomb and he sees, and then he says, afterwards the other disciple went in too. The other disciple went in. It says this in verse 8. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, he's reminding you that he was the faster runner again. He said the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and what does he say? He saw and believed. Isn't that interesting? This is a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And he tells us that when he went in, he saw and believed. What did he believe? Well, he believed that Jesus had risen again. And now, why does he tell you that? He tells you that because Jesus had been speaking to his disciples. He had been telling them, just as, you know, you as a Christian have heard this. Yes, Jesus died on the cross and rose again. And you go, yes, that's right. Yeah, I learned that one in Sunday school. That's why we have Easter eggs. Jesus died on the cross and rose again. But John is actually telling you that for the first time in his life, when he saw the evidence, there was something that happened, and it really gripped his heart. That truth really just, he believed, he was transformed by faith. And on the basis of the evidence before him, he now believes. And up until that point, he hadn't believed. And now John believes. What does he believe, though? You know, on the one hand, there's, on one level, should I say, on one level, it's just the tomb is empty. The body is gone. And so that's the level of the miracle, isn't it? This is amazing. I've never seen this before. That we saw his body placed in the tomb. We knew it was in there, and there was a big, heavy stone rolled across the door of the tomb. And that's why the women, you know, when we're reading in the other gospel accounts, as they were going to the tomb, they were going, well, you know, who's going to roll away the door for us? Who's going to roll away the stone? We can't move it. It's too heavy. So on the one level, there's that miracle. But it's beyond that, isn't it? This is a rounding off of everything that they had been told by the Lord Jesus. You know, he had said things like, you know, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will build it again. And they just laughed at him and thought he was out of his tree. Why? Because he was talking about his body, though. And they didn't understand that. He was talking about his death and his resurrection, that everything the scriptures had said, everything that the scriptures had said about the Messiah had now come to fulfillment, had now come to pass. And this is showing us, and John now understands, a transformation has happened in his heart. He's telling you that he fully believes and understands that the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done. And it's good for us to think about this ourselves. It's good for you to think about this. It's good for me to think about this. What does it mean when you read about the resurrection, when you hear about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? What does that do for you? What does that tell you? You know, one of the things that the Apostle Paul understood about the resurrection was this. He said, you know, if Jesus Christ is not risen from the dead, then he says, we're still in our sins. And he says, of all men, we're the most miserable. Meaning that if Jesus Christ has not died, hasn't raised from the dead, then everything he has said and everything he did and everything we're told about him in the scriptures, that's all lies. It doesn't mean anything. In fact, you know, if Jesus Christ had not been raised again, if he had not been resurrected, then we wouldn't really be here today, would we? What would be the purpose of coming, folks? We'd be coming along just to say, well, that was sort of a sad story, wasn't it? You know, that Jesus guy, he was such a lovely chap. You know, he was so promising. He was in his prime, and he was obviously a really gifted teacher, and people kind of liked him, and he started a bit of a movement there, had these disciples. But then he got killed and he got buried. Oh, that was a sad story, you know. Oh, well, who else is there? Buddha? Muhammad? Maybe we'll look at one of them. See, it totally changes everything, doesn't it? The fact that Jesus rose again from the dead means that we carry on, and that there is life, and that there is something to live for, and there is hope. And so John says, you know, he went into the tomb and he saw and he believed, and that changed his life and his faith. He lived by faith in that resurrection from there on. The other thing that the resurrection, we're told, does for us is that it brings faith, and it also brings peace to God's people. We're told in verses 20 and 21 and 26 again, that when Jesus came to his disciples, he greeted them, didn't he? He says in verse 20, it says when they were, verse 19 actually, he came and said to them, peace be with you. And then he came again and said in verse 21, Jesus said, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And then when he came again 8 days later, he says, verse 26, peace be with you. Now, what did he say? in all probability, Jesus came in and said, Shalom. Shalom. That's just a Hebrew word, isn't it? It means peace, okay? Salam in Arabic, okay? All right, he came and said, Shalom. And apparently, that's how people tended to greet one another. Okay? Shalom. Hey, shalom. Shalom. You know, shalom. You know? And some people go, oh, well, you know, that was just Jesus. He was just saying g'day to the boys. But, you know, really? Is that what John is telling us? Tells us three times that Jesus, when he came to his disciples, he said to them, peace be with you. Why would he say that to them? Why would he say that? Well, we're told here that they were gathered indoors and the doors were locked. They were for fear of the Jews. They were Jews themselves, by the way. But they were in fear of the religious authorities. And they were confused and they didn't know what the future was and where things were headed for them. And they'd been through this terrible, gut-wrenching time of grief and seeing the Lord Jesus suffer. And of course, what else were they feeling? Had they all stood with Jesus? When Jesus was being spat on, when Jesus was being beaten, when Jesus was being cursed and lied about, and when he was being nailed to the cross, were they all there supporting him and encouraging him and saying, Jesus, we're with you, it's going to be all right, we'll support you? No, we're told that they all ran away and fled. And even Peter, the brave one, he denied that he even had met Jesus three times. They all forsook him and fled. So they were feeling guilty too, weren't they? You know, we all do this at times as Christians, don't we? We feel guilty about our relationship with the Lord. You're a Christian? Oh, yeah, you know. Sometimes people get put in a spot, you know. Oh, those crazy Christians, look at what they're doing. Are you a Christian? Well, I'm kind of not one of those Christians, but I am a sort of a Christian, but, you know, blah, 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 blah. And they would have been feeling guilty at forsaking their master in his time of need. And they were frightened, and here they are, and Jesus comes to them and brings them his peace. And by the way, folks, not everybody has peace. Not everybody has peace. You know, the prophet Isaiah said, he said in Isaiah 48, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. You know, they would have expected at least a rebuke for their actions. Like, where were you guys? Where were you guys? Why weren't you? Why did you leave me? Why didn't you stay and support me when I needed you? You remember when earlier on Jesus had said, let's go and pray, and Jesus went off to pray and the disciples fell asleep. And Jesus comes back to them and said, you know, can't you watch and pray? So what does he give them as peace? Well, because they trust in him, they have their faith in him. It says in Isaiah again, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Did you hear that? He will give him perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. So Jesus is coming now to a bunch of guys who have faith in him, who trust. John tells us he saw and he believed. And so Jesus now comes and he gives them his peace. That follows on from the faith, doesn't it? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. It's kind of like Jesus' bequest, isn't it? You know, when somebody passes away, often people will leave a bequest, something, a gift to go to some organization or a group of people or something like that. And what does Jesus come and give to his disciples? Peace. Peace be with you. Not once, not twice, three times. This is a peace that surpasses all understanding. The scriptures tell us this peace that cannot be taken away. Many of you know of that hymn, you know, It Is Well With My Soul, by a guy called Horatio Spafford. Mike knows this story well, I'm sure. And he was a man who had significant money. He lived in Chicago. He made a lot of his money through real estate. But in the 1870s, 1871, there was a fire that swept through Chicago, and he lost a lot of his property. And then the family went on holiday. They were going to Europe, and he was, I can't remember whether they were coming back from Europe or going, but anyway, these were in the days of steamships, and he put his family, his wife and four daughters, on the ship. And but he had to stay back and do some work, and the ship was rammed or ran into another ship and sank. And he got a telegraph, you know, no text messages, no emails, no phone calls in those days. He got a telegraph when his wife finally reached the UK, and she said, "All is lost, you know, saved alone," something of that nature, basically saying, you know, all the girls are gone. And when he had to make that same trip himself to go and collect his wife, and as he was making that trip on the steamship, the captain called him into the cabin and said, "You know, we're actually passing over the spot. This is roughly where the ship went down that had your family on it, where you lost your daughters three miles deep." And it was in that process, in that journey, that he began to write that hymn, you know, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when troubles like sea billows roll," you know. And he could go on and say, "Whatever my lot, it has taught me to say it is well with my soul." And what was he talking about? He was talking about the peace that God gives. Sometimes we say peace in spite of the circumstances. Well, actually, it wasn't in spite of the circumstances. It was the peace that God gives in our circumstances. It was the peace, like the Lord Jesus came to the disciples in this situation and specifically spoke peace to them. And the resurrection reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who comes and speaks peace to you and I today in whatever situation we're at, whether we are rejoicing or whether we are struggling and going through difficult times. And notice too, following the speaking of peace, that he also gives them a mission. So not only is it faith, not only is it peace, but also it's a mission that he gives them. Notice how he comes in verse 21. He says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Here are 10 pretty freaked out guys. Judas is gone. Thomas is not there that day. Just 10 guys freaking out, wondering what's going to happen now. They believe because the Lord has risen. But they're wondering, what on earth are we going to do? And Jesus comes and not only brings them peace, speaks peace into their hearts, but he says, "Guys, I'm not just going to give you peace and so you can sit on a mountaintop and contemplate, but I have work for you to do. In fact, the work that I've got for you to do is the work that the Father has sent me into the world to do. Now I'm leaving it up to you." And the resurrection reminds us of that today, folks. If you're a Christian, you have a mission. You have a mission to accomplish. You remember I used to love watching the TV series, and I know they made movies, but, you know, your mission, should you accept it, is blah, 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 blah. Okay, Mission Impossible or something like that. Well, this is kind of Mission Impossible for us, but as we'll see in a moment, this is a mission that's made possible by the power of God at work in us. So Jesus brings his peace, and what he also does is gives us a job to go into the world. He's finished the work that the Father's given him to do, and now he says to you and I, he says, "Go on and carry on. Don't stop." He sends out his followers. And I guess the question that we always have to ask ourselves is this: the resurrection? If the resurrection is real, we're not following a dead Jesus, are we? We're not just going, "Well, he died, and that happened over 2,000 years ago. Well, it's sad, I'll go to church, you know, have a little celebration, a little memorial service." No, it's a resurrected Lord Jesus. And the resurrected Lord Jesus means what? He's alive. And he's saying, "I've got work for you to do, guys. You've got work to do. There's a mission to do. Carry it on. Don't stop. Don't stop and sit around and go, how sad. Carry it on. Keep doing the work. You know, if Jesus was just here, we'd just ignore him. Set up an epitaph. But there is no epitaph. There is no tombstone. And he is speaking to you and I. And Jesus is sending us. He's sending us into the world, isn't he? As he says, as you have sent me into the world, and when he prayed to the Father in John 17, verse 18, as you have sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. Where is the world, guys? Where's the world? Next door. That's right. There. There. The world is... The world is without Lord Jesus Christ, that doesn't have his peace, that is not believing in him. And it might be on the other side of the globe as well. So he is sending us to do his work, to shine the light of the good news that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. Now, this is the message that Jesus gave to his disciples. This was the instructions that he gave to his disciples. And this is the mission that he gives to you and I today, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? Okay, you know, sometimes we think in Christian mission and Christian work, we think, well, some people, you know, they're just really gifted to do stuff, you know. Well, he can do that, or she can do that. You know, she can be a missionary because she's just such an amazing person and wired up like that. And he can do that work because, you know, he's kind of got all the gifts and he's got the gab and the good looks and the power and the money or whatever it is. But Jesus doesn't say that. He doesn't say, you know, hey, man, you're such a good-looking bunch of dudes. And you've got all the connections. And you've got lots of money, you know. Yeah, just go out there and keep building the old corporation. He doesn't say that, does he? He comes and he gives them the power that they need. Verse 22. And when he had said this, after he said to them, go and carry on the work, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a theological thing in this too, guys, in case you're interested. This shows us that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Son as well as from the Father. Early church debated this a lot. But Jesus is showing that he's got the equipment and he can give his disciples the equipment that they need to follow out his orders. You know, while Pentecost was this amazing manifestation of the Holy Spirit's also here with the disciples on this day. And the Holy Spirit is given to each one of us today as we trust and as we believe in him. And that's how we go out. The power is given to us. You know, when the Lord calls you to go into all the world and preach the gospel, when the Lord calls you to go across to see your neighbor and say, hey, how's it going, you know? He gives you the power that you need to do that. Or whether it's to talk to one of your family members or someone at work. When you need to give a reason for the hope that is in you to your friends and stand up in front of the class or in the smoker room at work, he gives you the power that you need to in order to be able to do that. He has all the power and all authority. And he calls you to trust in him. Whether it's here, whether it's far away, whether it's down the road at Takanini Lodge Rest Home, whether it's at the breakfast club, whether it's at junior youth, whether it's CAP visiting people in their homes, whether it's you talking to your neighbours and friends and at work, hanging out with your mates, he gives you the power to do that. That's what the resurrection reminds you of. Again, because Jesus is alive and he is with you. He doesn't just say, well, off you go, report back. But he goes with you. And he goes, and as he sends you out, not only do you go out in faith and with his peace and on that mission and given the power that you need to do that mission, but also you go with his blessing upon you. You know, the disciples and the women, they believed because they saw the risen Lord Jesus that he was alive. And you and I, we believe that the Lord Jesus is alive, but we're told this account here, aren't we, about Thomas? You know, Thomas is the guy who said, come on, you can't be for real, you know. And I like Thomas, by the way. A lot of us are down on Thomas. You know, doubting Thomas. Oh, I never doubt, you know. But he asks good, genuine questions, doesn't he? He says, come on, this is not happening. How can you be saying that Jesus is alive? It doesn't happen. Never seen it happen, you know. Why should I believe in stuff that doesn't happen? Fair enough. I don't believe in stuff that doesn't happen. I try not to anyway, you know. Did they really walk on the moon, people? Hey, I believe they walked on the moon. Anyway, he hasn't seen the evidence, has he? So Jesus comes again, just for Thomas. Hey, Thomas, how's it going, bro? Didn't see you the other week, 8 days ago. Look at my hands, Thomas. My side. That's where the soldier shoved the spear into my side because he just wanted to check that I was dead. And he says, now don't be faithless but believing. Now don't be faithless but believing. But then he says, I love it what he says after that. He says, you know, have you believed because you, this is 29 I'm reading, because you've seen. He says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. What is he saying there? There's a special blessing of God upon those who haven't had the benefit of Thomas, who was able to see the physical evidence in front of his eyes. And we trust the eyewitness evidence that is given to us in the scriptures and the internal witness of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. He says there is a special blessing, a blessing for you and I who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that we have not seen. What does it mean to be blessed, by the way, guys? And think about this. What does it mean to be blessed? Some people say, well, you know, I'm really blessed because I've just got a new car. Or I'm really blessed because I got a pay rise. Well, yes, the Lord does bless us in many ways. But is Jesus talking about that? Is he saying, well, you guys are blessed because your lives are so happy and you're so healthy and wealthy? Does it mean that you'll be rich? Not necessarily. Does it mean you'll always have good health? Not necessarily. Does it mean you'll be popular and well-liked? Not necessarily. But what it does mean is that you have the grace and the favor of Almighty God on your side. God is with you. The smile of God is upon you. That's what it means to have the blessing of God. Not all the other stuff, you know. That stuff's kind of nice, but it's not blessing, is it? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. Hey, folks, that's you and me. That's us. A special blessing the resurrection brings upon us. This comes to you and I via the resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ, he pronounces a blessing on you today who believe in him. So he gives you the resurrection today. It gives faith. Gives you peace. Okay, it gives you the mission. Gives you the power to carry out that mission, and also, finally, it gives you the blessing of God. You know, that's what the resurrection meant for a small group of his disciples, of his followers over 2,000 years ago. And nothing has changed. That comes to us as well today. The only thing that's changed is that many, many millions of people have come to experience that same thing, as they too believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we believe and know that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive and he is today working in the hearts and lives of countless millions of people and working in your heart and in my heart, in your life and my life today. That's the wonderful thing about the resurrection. Faith, peace, mission, power, and blessing. These things belong together just as much as we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, we thank you for our Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you that today we are here not to remember someone who died on a cross like many others did. For that would be sad. But we are here to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior Jesus, who both died and rose again and ascended into heaven. We pray that you would instill within us faith and trust in you, that we would know this, and that faith would give us the peace that we need to carry out our lives in whatever situations we go into. We thank you, Lord God, that you call us to serve you. You have called us into this mission work of telling others about Jesus. But you don't send us out alone. You give us the power to do that. And your blessing is upon us. Your grace and favor. Your good word upon our lives. Go in my peace. Go in my faith to do my work by my power. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of your risen Son. Amen.